What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Mike Brown is the new head coach of the Knicks. To hear our reaction to it, rewind on the Odyssey app right to 2 o'clock. The Mets lose another game. What else is new? They had a 2-1 lead. Clay Holmes was taken out with one out and a runner on in the sixth inning. And then Reed Garrett imploded. And the Mets ended up losing 7-2. We'll get to the Yankees in just a few minutes. But that's one of the big questions Met fans had on this matinee. Why did Carlos Mendoza take Clay Holmes out with one out in the sixth inning? Well, let's hear from the manager and have him explain himself.
What was the thought process for moving Clay when you did there?
Yeah. So that fourth inning, he walked the bases loaded with the three lefties there. Seems like he was having a hard time landing the secondaries for in the strike zone. And then I knew, you know, we're up one. He's approaching 90 pitches there. Once he walks Yelich to lead off the inning, I knew I was going to, you know, I was going to just give him Churyu regardless. He got Churyu out, and, you know, that was it.
No, that's his answer. And the problem is Clay Holmes, who's had a very good first year as a starting pitcher, he doesn't go that deep into games. That's like the ultimate issue. And when I looked at his pitch counts this season to see, like, all right, how often has he gone past 90? You know, how often has he done it? Well, in his last start, he threw 96 pitches. In his start before that, he threw 104, but he also did it over a limited amount of time.
Right.
So it's funny with managers is they're okay with pitch counts when it's earlier in a game because they need to get through the fifth inning or the fourth inning. But here in the sixth inning, he felt a little bit more leeway to say, oh, I'll go to Reed Garrett. And look, Reed Garrett's what made it worse.
Right.
Reed Garrett could have come in and actually got the two outs. Here's a follow-up on Mendy explaining why Clay was pulled at this point.
Desire to try to, you know, push him any more than...
No, not once. You know, when you got a guy that is at 90 pitches in 5 1/3, you know, like, you ask him, what, 100, 10 more pitches? You know, that wasn't going to be the case. You know, we got some other guys that can cover 18 innings.
You think you have guys that can cover 18?
Oh, right now they don't.
Right, they don't. That's the problem. But, and look, here's the challenge with Clay Holmes, because we know that he's making a transition. It's his first year. So to ask him to be like an elite starting pitcher, it's kind of unfair to him. It's his first year getting this deep and getting this many innings pitched in his entire career. Now, and so, like, what do you expect of him? You knew he was going to face some challenges. I keep talking about these guys need the All-Star break. If anybody needs it, it's Clay Holmes.
He just had two extra days of rest.
It's not even about a couple of days of rest. It's just about sitting and resetting your whole, like, homeostasis. He's all jacked up because he's not used to this. This is his first year doing it. It'd be like, hey, Teague, you're going to be a third down back for most of your career. All right, now you're going to carry the ball 30 times a game, right? You need a break from it sometimes.
Well, I think the problem is we as fans are pushing more from Clay Holmes because look at the rest of the rotation.
Right, because nobody else is reliable.
It's Paul Blackburn and Frankie Montas and Blade Tidwell. They're filling out the rest of this rotation. So Clay, fair or not, is looked upon as one of the more reliable arms in this rotation, even though this is his first year as a starting pitcher.
I'm just saying it's not fair to him.
No, and look, here's the honest truth.
Would I have pushed Clay Holmes another batter? I would have. But to Mendy's point, this is where Mendy's right. Okay, I push him one more batter, then what? Like, he's not throwing 110 pitches.
No.
It's not happening. So even if they do push him one more batter and he gets that batter out,
right,
you're still eventually going to Reed Garrett. Like, eventually Reed Garrett's coming into this game. Now, ideally, it would have been a clean inning because Clay Holmes would have been able to get through the sixth inning once he starts it.
Yeah.
And obviously, once he issues that leadoff walk to Christian Yelich, the handwriting was on the wall. He wasn't going to go through it. But even if Mendy pushes him, which I wanted him to, you're still asking Reed Garrett to eventually come into the game and make big pitches.
Right. Maybe you don't even come. You send Clay Holmes out for the fifth inning. I mean, the sixth inning. You just give him a clean inning, as you said. And then he's not really worried about trying to prevent that run from going around. And then it doesn't spiral, because then it spirals.
Yeah, I think the reason you push him at that point is you're trying to get any out you can, because you are in a doubleheader,
yeah,
and you're looking at how many outs left do I have. If you pull him after five, you need 12 outs out of your bullpen. If he can get an out or two, all of a sudden that number isn't 12, that number's 10. You know what I mean? And it's just a little bit different. I would have pushed him another batter, but let's not get this twisted, Met fans. They didn't lose this game simply because of this decision. They lost this game because their once reliable reliever in Reed Garrett now stinks. He's turned into the pumpkin, if you will. And, oh, by the way, the offense had two hits. Two hits. Like, it's tough to win a baseball game when you get two hits.
Right. They're equally bad problems.
Jeff is calling from Oceanside. What's up, Jeff?
Good afternoon, boys. How you doing today?
All right.
All right, I can't take it anymore. I simply can't take it. The pitching lab is broken. They never hit with runs in scoring position. They got to make a change in the coaching staff. I'm sorry. The hitting has not developed. The young players don't hit. They never, never, never hit with runs in scoring position. Their pitching is awful. The bullpen is awful. Why do these coaches keep their jobs?
So what change do you want to make? Which coach you want out? Eric Chavez, Jeremy Hefner, all of them? What do you want?
I want the pitching coach out, I want the bullpen coach out, and I want the hitting coach out, and Mendy's got to be on thin ice. Last year, they walked the ballpark. Remember last year with the great pitching coach?
Yeah.
They led the league in walks last year. Their pitching burned out at the end of last year. Their pitching is not good this year. It was good for about 6 weeks. Hefner was a mediocre pitcher at best.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. Jeremy Hefner's pitching career is not on trial.
No.
And here's the problem with firing Jeremy Hefner. If they fire Jeremy Hefner, who's lasted through how many GMs and how many administrations, and you know what that tells you? It tells you that he's highly regarded.
Right.
It tells you that even David Stearns, who had no tie to him, said, I want to keep him. If they fire Jeremy Hefner, he's going to get a job in like 5 minutes.
Of course he will.
He's that highly regarded. So I think
it might be somewhere with a better rotation, and then they'll be even better.
Right, and then you got to replace him.
Yes.
So I don't think firing Hefner is the answer, as frustrated as it is watching the pitching. If you want to fire Eric Chavez, fine, go ahead. You can do it. Do I think it's going to make a world of difference? Not really. But I have to admit, as much as I think firing coaches is an overrated, you know, typical bad team bingo card move, it is a little alarming to watch Francisco Alvarez go to the minor leagues, change his batting stance,
right, and
start hitting the baseball.
Right.
That does not make Jeremy Barnes and Eric Chavez look good. Phil's in Staten Island. Hey, Phil.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Evan, I think this is on Mendoza, man. He lost the team totally now. A good manager will find ways to make things better, and things only go worse.
And all these walks,
how do you tolerate that? It's the same story over and over.
But what do you do?
Somebody's got to be
If you're Mendy, because you said you think Mendy's lost the team, what should he have done, or what can he do
lay
right
now?
Lay
down the law. Get rid of some people. Get rid of people. Make examples out of somebody.
Which people?
Get rid of some of these bitches. Like Garrett, I would DFA today. After what happened?
You know what? Here's a problem with that. Because I heard BT say that earlier about Mark Leiter, like I'll DFA him.
Yeah.
I get why you're frustrated at Mark Leiter. I get why Met fans are frustrated at Reed Garrett. You have to replace those guys. Do you think the guys that you're calling up from the minor leagues are better than Reed Garrett and Mark Leiter, as much as we're frustrated at both of those guys? It's not. I get the emotion of it. I do.
Yeah.
We're all frustrated. I don't think it's practical. And I also don't think it's going to have the desired effect you want. Like, the effect of our last caller is it's going to shake up the locker room. Is it? Is Reed Garrett going to shake up Pete Alonso and Francisco Lindor?
It'll shake up the fan base, but that's not what we're talking about.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Doesn't matter. How we feel, our pound of flesh doesn't matter. It's what matters in that clubhouse.
Of course.
And so they came to rely on Reed Garrett for a lot of this season so far. So to DFA him would be imprudent and hasty.
It'd be foolish.
Of course. And emotional. And you can't win in baseball by being emotional.
Anthony's in Bridgewater. Anthony.
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, man. What's up?
Listen, here's the deal. First off, I got my group chat blowing up. All my relatives, my friends, my father-in-law is going crazy. And here's the deal. Here's the reason why. It's not the bullpen coach. It's not these guys. It's David Stern. He shops at Walmart last year and gets true great value food and makes out well with the relievers and the starters. This year, when you shop at Walmart too much, you get bad brands eventually. And this is the problem when you shop cheap. And this is the cheap labor of the bullpen and the starting pitching. It's terrible. You want to talk about the hitting? You got to believe that's going to come around. It's an easy fix. You can maybe pick up.
No. Because that's what I want to counter. Why are we supposed to assume that when they're a below average offensive team? Why?
Okay, here's why.
Tell me why.
Lindor's going to hit. He has hit. Alonso's been good. Soto's been good. Nimmo's been okay. And here's the biggest thing. It's easy to go and get a trade for a hitter. There's a billion of them. There's not a billion pitchers out there. That's where you can strengthen yourself hitting. The pitching and the relieving sucks. You can get a hitter in the trade deadline. There's a billion guys who are on crappy teams that hit. There's not a billion guys that can pitch on crappy teams.
I agree with acquiring players, but let's go back to the initial point, which is, why are the Mets where they are? Which is still 10 games above 500, shockingly enough. And I'd argue the biggest reason they have now underachieved is they are a below-average offensive team. That's a sample size of 90 games now.
Right.
Or approaching 90 games. Below average. They score less runs than the Nationals. They're almost scoring less runs than the Marlins. Those are the facts through 90 games.
For 80% of the season, that Walmart pitching you just described carried their asses. Carried them. So I get this nice, easy argument of, well, they shopped at Walmart. You knew what was going to happen. That Walmart shopping is the reason they're 10 games above 500. Let's just call it like it is. This offense has underachieved since jump. And if you want to sit here and tell me, don't worry, Evan, it'll all be fine. Okay. Which more than half the season's been done. And you're wrong. You're wrong. The Mets are 10 games above 500 because of the pitching,
right,
not because of this offense. And when we talk about them shopping at Walmart when it comes to pitching, you're right. Guess where they shopped for offense? They went to Tiffany's. And they're scoring 4.28 runs per game. On what planet is that garbage acceptable?
That shiny ring is walking 70 times and so far. 68. Talking about Juan Soto, obviously.
It's not just him, but he's part of the Tiffany's.
He's okay walking, and so it's fine, but it also is not scoring you runs.
Two quick Mets thoughts. Francisco Alvarez has homered for the third straight game in Syracuse. Don't know if that's something you want to consider.
Yes, Eric Chavez should be fired. You're right. Okay. I've just now been convinced.
Number two.
Seriously? It just happened?
Yeah, for the third straight game. While Blake Tidwell will pitch tonight, Huascar Brazoban will start the game.
Oh, they're using the opener thing?
They're going that way.
Whatever. That doesn't faze me one way or the other. Well, that's okay. They've done that a few times this year.
Do you believe it's going to work?
Well, the two other times I'm trying to remember, they did it with
Brandon. It's not even about the time they're doing it. I'm talking about the individuals that they're doing it with. Oscar Brazoban has been terrible as of late.
So you're asking me if he's going to give up 7 runs in the first inning?
Right, then you're going to back him up with Blake Tidwell?
I don't think it changes anything about tonight, if that's your question. Like, I didn't have confidence going into tonight anyway with Blake Tidwell on the mound, but does it make it worse that Brazoban's going to pitch the first inning? Not really. They've done this twice this season. They did it in a game that was bulked by Hagenman and a game that was bulked by Waddell. And if I'm not mistaken, in both cases, Brazoban pitched a fine first inning.
Okay.
Now, is he going to implode tonight? Probably. Is that what you're asking me? Do you want me to predict that he's going to implode?
I'm just saying, have fun tonight.
Oh, I was going to be miserable either way. I'm not defending the Mets, Teak. I'm telling you that either way I went into tonight's game saying, let that ice cream be good.
No, you're going in with the rally cap tonight, though. Evan, this is how it changes, right?
I did bring the rally cap.
All right, good.
I have it ready to go. It's, of course, the floppy hat they gave away last week.
Bucket hat.
The bucket hat. Is there a difference between a bucket hat and a floppy hat?
Yes.
What's the difference?
The floppy hat is bigger. Can cut lawns with it. Layout. Yeah. Yes.
Protect your whole body.
Yeah. Credit to Evan for making me actually look up that there was a difference.
I didn't know there was a difference. Let's go to Roy in Middleton. What's up, Roy?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking the call. No, listen, Evan, you're right. A couple thoughts and then I'll hang up, okay? First thing is, you're right. The pitching got us here and we're 10 over and we don't want to waste that. Now, along with the pitching, you look at Clay Holmes. He's got to go back into the bullpen. I'll tell you why. The 3.5 seasons he's with the Yankees, because one of them he was hurt, okay? The first half of the season, for two of those seasons, he was an all-star because his ERA was magnificent, under 2, right?
Right, right.
But then the second half of those seasons, he was like 4.5. He can't last. Mm. He's going to get burnt out by early August. His value is going in bullpen.
I think you may be right at some point.
It's hard to throw him in the bullpen now, though.
You can't do it now.
Who else is starting games?
Well, that's the problem. They don't have the arms. Like, if you're telling me in early August, because Manaea's healthy and Senga's healthy, and let's say they actually give one of these kids an opportunity besides Blake Tidwell, because they're going to be forced to have to start somebody on Sunday against the Yankees. It's not going to be Clay Holmes. Because it would be short rest.
Right.
So maybe they do what I want, which is call up Jonah Ta. Maybe they do.
Right.
And so let's say one of those kids pitches well.
Is he ready?
What was that?
Is he ready? He's in double A now?
Yeah, why not?
McClain is more apt, right? He's triple A. Does it matter?
To me, I mean, yeah, I'd probably give McClain the edge because he's been a triple A, but would I give either one that opportunity as a potential one-off? I would. I said that to you last week. And now it's even more realistic because of the fact this rainout has caused them to need another starting pitcher. But my point is, if the Mets could ever be in a position where they actually have relative depth in their rotation, then we can have the Clay Holmes to the bullpen discussion. You can't have it now. And here's the other issue with the Clay Holmes performances. I hate the if I told you in April thing, but if I told you in April, Clay Holmes has given you 5 solid innings
and keeping you in games, you'd say, great for a middle back of the rotation arm.
Yeah.
But because so many guys are injured, Clay Holmes is now their second best pitcher, at least actively.
Right.
And so the expectation on Clay has now been raised to where he's got to get through six. But if I was telling you 5 1/3 innings, 2 runs in March, you would have been like, that's pretty good.
Of course it is. And sitting where he is right now, just under a 3 ERA, you'd still say it's good.
Right.
But the depth is not there. I mean, the length is not there. And as a result, you're starting to get, well, not now because they had 2 days rest, but over the last couple of weeks, it's been an exhausted bullpen.
Yeah.
Clay Holmes, after the game, did admit that he did not feel like he was at the very end. Do you want to hear from him?
Yes, let's hear from Clay Holmes.
Were you expecting to be pulled there, or did you want to keep going?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, you never want to get pulled. You want to keep going. But, you know, it's, you know, definitely a judgment call. It's not really my call. Can't control it. So, it's definitely a hot day. Definitely felt like I was getting a little tired, but I didn't feel like I was, you know, at the very end. So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, Mindy, the pitching coaches, guys made the decisions, you know, made the decision. And, you know, when I'm out there, I kind of give it all I have.
He's the anti-Carlos Rodon. Mm. Carlos Rodon says, I'm done.
Right.
I'm tired. Clay's like, yeah, I could have stayed out there.
Skip made the right decision. It's all good. I got to toe the company line.
Is that what you think Clay said?
No.
Oh.
That's what Rodon said.
Yeah, Rodon was like, I'm done.
This is what Clay said. Yeah. He did not sound happy. He sounded like he wanted to continue to go. He's getting tired, obviously, but everybody's tired.
Yeah.
So give me a chance.
Yeah. I would have had him face another batter. I'm with Clay Holmes. I'm with most Met fans. I think the problem is, even if we got our way, you were still going to eventually ask Reed Garrett to come in, probably that inning, to get big outs.
Right.
Either way, he was coming into this game. Kenny in Staten Island. Kenny.
What's going on, guys? Listen, the only good thing about Brazemont starting, he can't blow the lead.
So. Good point. True. Good point.
But listen, the problem with the Mets is, and it's been like that for years. I know Vientos had his moments last year. He played well. This young offensive talent does not pan out. They overvalue their young hitters. Even with Alvarez now ripping it up in AAA, I don't care what he's doing in AAA, because once he gets up here in major league pitching, he's going to go back to doing what he does best, swinging for the fences and not connecting. So right now, if I'm Stearns, you got to think of a way to get some major league hitters in here by trading some of these so-called prospects. Maybe another team out there values them as much as the Mets, and we can turn these busts into maybe a guy that could actually swing the bat.
It is.
Because it's for years.
Kenny, you're right. And I think one of the big disappointments of this season for the Mets is that those young bats have not produced, whether it's Mark Vientos having a disastrous season or the inconsistencies of Brett Beatty. This brings me back to full circle Mets-Yankees, because I do want to get into the Yankees in a couple of minutes. Last year, the Mets and Yankees both had really good regular seasons.
Right.
And I remember before the season started, I said, Tiki, I'm going to tell you something very boring, but it's so true. The success of the Mets and the Yankees are going to be based on young players we're not even thinking about right now. And it turned out to be the case. Luis Gil was a main reason why the Yankees had success. Austin Wells was a main reason the Yankees had success. And on the Mets side, Mark Vientos was a main reason the Mets had success. I want you to now think about 2025 and think about the young players and the expectations we had for them in growing. In the Yankees' case, how's Anthony Volpe doing?
Not great.
In the Yankees' case, I'll even throw out Oswald Peraza.
And he's talking his way into being less liked.
No, 100%. Think about the Mets. Mark Vientos, right. Brett Beatty. The young players for both teams have underperformed in a big way, which has opened us up to sitting here on July 2nd talking about all the veterans they need to add. And the main reason we're saying that is because young players haven't performed.
Yeah.
It's been a big fail of the Mets, and it's been a part of the Yankees as well.
The problem with the Mets is that some of those guys feel like you don't know when or if they're ever going to do it. And with the Yankees, we kind of know where Volpe is. We know who he is. And Cabrera gave you an option just because of his versatility, playing wherever you needed him to. And right now, and we'll get into this at some point, they need a third baseman.
Oh, no doubt. In fact, we'll get into it next. Jazz Chisholm was very honest after last night's game, and it exposed a major Yankee issue. So yesterday afternoon was bad enough. Max Fried was not great off of a Yankee loss. Their defense was shaky. We had the odd catcher's interference, which we see so much of now in 2025. And we also saw Jazz Chisholm not make a play at third base. That, I think a regular third baseman would make would be the way I phrase it.
It's a tough play.
I agree.
To pick it on the run and make it the throw in the same motion as picking it.
So that's
pick,
what
transfer, throw, not even take a step.
That's why I phrase it as if you're a regular third baseman and you're good at it, you make the play, but it's not the easiest play in the world. And Jazz Chisholm is not a regular third baseman. You know, Jazz Chisholm was acquired last year, a little bit later than now, a year ago at the trade deadline. And the Yankees promptly said, hey, can you play third base? And Jazz Chisholm was like, yeah, man, I want to win. I'll learn third base. And I thought you saw a guy try his hardest. I thought played pretty well at third base considering it wasn't his natural position. And obviously this year it was odd that he was the second baseman. Then he gets hurt. Upon his return, things are different because Oswaldo Cabrera's out for the season. DJ's back. And they tell Jazz, okay, you're going to go play third base.
Mm-hmm.
So Jazz says this to Chris Kirschner after the game yesterday that I think makes the Yankees look bad. But it was Jazz being honest. Jazz said he only worked at second base during the offseason. And the Yankees explicitly told him he'd be their second baseman. That was the position where he began the year before he was moved to third base. Quote, everybody knows I'm a second baseman, Chisholm said. Of course I want to play second base, but whatever it takes to help the team win. If that's what the team chooses, that's what I got to do. I don't write the lineups. You feel me? I'm playing every day, so it's hard to be upset. Yes, I know I'm a second baseman. Yes, I know I'm a better second baseman. But at the end of the day, I still have to play third base. I just have to deal with it. Now, what's tricky about this is because Chris Kirschner is a great reporter and we're reading his quotes, and he is a great reporter. I'm glad he got this interview. We don't hear it. So you don't hear the tone of Jazz Chisholm.
I would guess there's some levity in there.
So he isn't being passive aggressive, or do you think he is?
I don't think so. I think he's just, that's just how Jazz is. Like, because you heard him when he did the interview on ESPN. Would you listen to that?
Yeah, of course.
He's laughing all the time.
Yeah.
Like, he's real about it, but he's also not serious about it. And so he's not saying, I hate playing third base. I'm a second baseman. He's basically saying, you know, I'm a second baseman, but, you know, I got to play third, and I'm going to do his best for my team.
Spot the lie.
I can see him saying it with a smile.
I agree with you.
Right? That's just how Jazz is.
Yeah, I don't think it was passive aggressive. I think it was Jazz shooting from the hip and being honest, which is, yeah, I'm a better second baseman. Don't we all know that?
Of course. By the way, the team is better with him at second base.
Well, that's the thing that we got to wrap our head around.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't, any of us, make a big enough deal about this when it first happened. I kind of remember what Sean said. And just to go back in time.
I know what Sean said because I just said it to Sean two breaks ago.
That they were playing Chisholm at third base because they thought they had a better chance to get a second baseman at the trade deadline?
No.
Because that's what Sean said.
No, that's not what I said.
Well, I'm talking about what Sean said. What'd you say?
That's not what Sean said.
Yes, it was.
Sean said, what the hell is the obsession with DJ LeMahieu? Period.
Well, no, hold on.
Yes, it is.
When they were bringing Jazz back from the injury and they announced he was moving to third base, are right that Sean's never been a DJ guy, and I know we've had arguments about him, but I remember
why did they move him to third?
Well, the theory that Sean had, which I didn't buy just based on the marketplace, was, hey, this is the Yankees telling us they think they have a better chance of getting a second baseman at the deadline than a third baseman.
Yeah.
You did say that, right,
so,
Sean?
Yeah, that was my hope, was because it didn't make any sense, knowing DJ's history at third base, why they were doing it.
Right.
Yes. That was me trying to rationalize why the Yankees.
But I don't think any of us made a big enough deal about this, because why did they play him at third base? Especially, and maybe we didn't know this at the time, but Jazz admitted, oh, yeah, during the offseason, I was just working out at second base.
Yes.
So if the Yankees are kind of planning for you to be the second baseman, I don't think the Oswaldo Cabrera injury is enough to flip that plan on its head.
Well, it just tells you that they don't have any options because Cabrera's not available. Peraza's hitting 50 points below the Mendoza line, and so he's unplayable. And so your only option is to put DJ there or to put Jazz there.
DJ.
He can't move, dude.
He can't move.
Can he move at second base?
By the way, which is his problem at second base as well.
But I'd rather have a guy who can't move at third base than second base.
Yeah, here's the issue with what you're saying, in line with what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
By putting Jazz at third base and keeping DJ at second, both positions are worse. Now, if Jazz is playing second, you have your up the middle infield is actually pretty damn good.
Yes.
Because Volpe's a gold glover despite some of the boneheaded errors that he makes, and Jazz is has a hell of a range and can get to all those balls as well. And in fact, they did a statistical analysis, and not really, you know, deep, but just a batter's average against with Jazz at second and whoever at third, Cabrera or Peraza, 191. With Jazz at third and DJ at second, it's 310. It's significantly worse.
That's the part that doesn't make sense.
Both positions with Jazz playing third base. Why he's playing third base makes absolutely no sense. This is the eye test, obviously.
Of course.
It's also the analytics test.
No, you're 100%.
So what the hell?
And go back to the basics. Jazz Chisholm is a second baseman.
Yes.
Jazz Chisholm in the offseason was preparing to be the second baseman.
Yes.
Last year, it was a different circumstance that moved him to third base because Gleyber Torres was here.
Mm-hmm.
I do not understand. And again, it's all kind of our fault in a weird way that we didn't raise the alarm bells enough when this first happened.
They were winning, and it didn't matter. And they were scoring a ton of runs, and just having Jazz in the lineup because his bat felt exciting was enough.
Or maybe we just assumed Jazz will go to third base and he'll turn into A-Rod over there.
Yeah. He was fine in the postseason last year, too. That's the other thing.
But it's still not his more natural position.
He's fine there. He's not great there.
Absolutely.
They are, but to your point, Tekin, I think this is where Aaron Boone's got to make a change, and he didn't tonight. I've looked at the Yankee lineup. Mm-hmm. It is not any different defensively because he was asked yesterday, hey, have you thought about Jazz at third and DJ at second? Right. And instead of throwing it away, he said, it's something we'll look at.
You mean Jazz at second.
Jazz at second, DJ at third. My apologies if I got it backwards. Yeah.
Right.
And Boone said, it's something we'll look at. Well, something to look at, you should just do it.
Right.
DJ's also, his arm is cooked too. I don't even think he can make the throws consistently either.
And so the reason I think Aaron Boone is in an impossible situation is because DJ, because what Sean is saying, alluding to, cannot play third base.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So, who's playing third base?
Well, you could play Oswald Peraza and just deal with the 150. I mean,
can't have the entire left side of the infield hitting that terribly between Volpe. No, that's the other thing. Volpe's compounding this whole thing.
Which makes this trade deadline imperative.
Oh, no doubt.
Why I said Evan might ultimately end up being right about his brain predicting Nolan Arenado. Now, the timing might be wrong because you said it would happen before opening day.
Yeah, it's off by a few
months. It might happen by the trade deadline. The problem is that the Cardinals are in it.
Yeah, but the Cardinals are not that good.
They're not good.
But they're going to trade them. They're going to trade them.
And by the way, if it's not Eugenio Suarez, I know Ryan McMahon keeps coming up, but he's having a terrible season as well. So if it's not Eugenio Suarez, it's got to be someone like Nolan Arenado.
Why don't we go bigger?
Who?
Why don't we think bigger? I got a big guy. I got a sexy guy.
You talking about a Red Sox?
I'm not talking about a Red Sox, because that would be unrealistic. I am trying to have some sanity of realisticness.
Just making
if you
sure
will.
You weren't going to throw a real pipe dream our way.
Alex Bregman, nah. I don't think the Red Sox would make a trade with the Yankees, though they did trade them Stephen Drew that one time. I think that when we talk about DeGrom and we talk about Texas, maybe we're not thinking of the right guy. We're thinking of DeGrom just because of his affiliation with New York. But if the Texas Rangers are going to be mediocre, and right now they are.
They're 2.5 out of the wild card.
But they're under 500.
Yeah.
I mean, they're behind the Angels, for crying out loud. Like, I'm just saying, a team on the precipice that could move a big contract, they have a massive contract from a player that could change everything. Because the way I think this would work out is if you brought this guy in, you'd play him at third base, and you've solved your issue, and then next year he takes over shortstop. Until George Lombard is ready. And you tell Anthony Volpe, you ain't all for this world. Yeah. And the guy I'm talking about, he makes a lot of money.
All right.
He's always hurt, but man, when he's healthy, he can play, is Corey Seager. Now the question is, would the Yankees be willing to absorb a majority of that contract? He is due after this season, 6 years, $189 million. That is a lot.
That is a whole lot.
Takes him through his age 37 season. He is another left-handed bat. He's won before, as we know. And the thing with Corey is he's just got to stay on the field. But that would change things. And it would do two things at the same time. Number one, I wouldn't necessarily have him replace Anthony Volpe right away. I'd have him come in and shift over to third base and play. Next year, when I have a full offseason and a chance to evaluate, then I got a chance to kind of whisper back to Corey, okay, you got your shortstop job back. All right, Volpe, you're moving to second, or whatever we decide to do with you.
Can't move him to second. Jazz is still here.
Well, my point is it's the offseason. You have more room to.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to alter everything. Like, if I brought him in and tell Anthony Volpe in the middle of the season you're moving to second base, it's probably not ideal. So, is it too crazy because of the money? Is that the problem that we just don't think Hal would spend? Or would you want to spend the $189 million for him?
My answer to that would be if we're in panic mode to spend on Corey Seager at 31 years old on a trade like that, then why the hell didn't they just sign Alex Bregman, to be honest with you?
Yeah, good point.
And just get a natural third baseman.
You can't go back in time, though. And
I don't
also
think they anticipated it being
this bad,
this untenable.
But I also think you're kind of dismissing Seager over the last couple of years. He hasn't had the greatest year this year. Though his numbers are still not awful, awful. But look what he did last year. 30 home runs. Look what he did the year before that. He was a 1,000 OPS ball player. Like, he's still good.
Yeah,
let's not act like he's some bum.
And it's better than what they have. I'm not saying no. And would I be excited? Yes, I would. But I just don't think that's going to end up being more realistic for me. I don't.
What if Texas picked up part of it? I mean, the way the Marlins picked up part of the Giancarlo contract.
Well, now you're talking.
Yeah.
Because I think money's a big issue with the Yankees right now. I can't believe I'm saying that, but it's the truth.
I think it's more realistic the Rangers try to move Seager's contract than DeGrom's.
Man.
I do. I think they would. I think they would look at Seager's long-term nature of it and say, you know what? Let's see if we can get some money off this and maybe bring back a decent prospect.
But even with the signing of DeGrom and all of that, I just have a tough time thinking, as Tiki said, if they're hanging anywhere within three games of that wild card, knowing the open nature of the American League, I have a tough time thinking they're not going to try to just, not like make trades to go for it, but really sell off.
Totally get you. Because there are, like, Arizona's the same way. Because Yennio Suarez is the other name that makes sense. Bring him in, right-handed pop, third base, all that. And I think the Diamondbacks are in a similar situation. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they faced each other in the World Series a few years ago. But they're sort of in it. So, yeah, we are looking at teams that are kind of on that cusp of being in it or out of it. But I think the point remains the same, whether it's an impact guy or non-impact guy. They have to get better. And that almost in a weird way makes it easier. Because all you're looking for is an upgrade over DJ LeMahieu. And at this point, that's not asking that much.
There isn't an internal option.
Right now there is not. You're looking external. And you're looking at names that wouldn't necessarily excite you. Jonathan India, I know you brought him up earlier in the season, Sean. Is he an upgrade over DJ LeMahieu? Yeah. Is he great? No.
Is he on our fantasy team?
Yes, he is.
Is that why you brought him up?
On our flounder. Well, he's only on there because he can steal a couple bases.
Yeah. But he's a right-handed bat who can play second base. You can move him over to third base. Yeah. He gives you that option. Isaiah Kanafalefa is an option. Ke'Bryan Hayes is an option. Again, these guys aren't great. But guys, I get it. They're not great. No one's arguing that. Are they better? It's called the DJ test. Mm. Are they better than DJ LeMahieu?
Yes, but I can make a list of probably 100 infielders right now I'd rather have than DJ LeMahieu.
But an upgrade is better than no upgrade, is my point to you.
But the thing with the Yankees is we've gotten to the point where not only do they need an upgrade, they need to not just upgrade, they need a significant other bat in this lineup. It's not just a matter of finding a guy that can move like DJ can't. They literally need to upgrade the offense.
So then you agree with Corey Seager?
I do.
I don't know why you didn't dance when I said that name.
Because I don't think it's realistic, number one. And number two, you're acting like, oh, yeah, you go to third. The moment he gets here, the noise about Volpe will grow.
Purely speculative when I say this? If the Yankees were willing to take the contract, he'd be yours. I disagree. Right. It's unrealistic. I think it may be unrealistic in terms of the Yankees saying we're not picking up that contract. Sure. If they ever called up Chris Young and said, we'll take it. Dude, you don't think the Rangers would move off of that thing and say, right, hey, we won a World Series. We're good. He's 31 years old. He's always hurt.
And
goodbye.
It gives us a chance to test somebody, even though we're still kind of in the race.
Yeah.
Put somebody else in at shortstop. No, you're right. But I don't think the Yankees are going to do that.
The Yankees aren't going to spend that money.
No, that's too much money.
No, I just bring him up because I was thinking about him the other day. You know what really brought me to this? I know a lot of Yankee fans have turned on Anthony Volpe. A lot of them have turned on him a long time ago. My turning point, and if you missed our brief show yesterday, we brought it up right at the top. His comments after the first game against the Blue Jays, he lost me.
Right.
For him to stand there defiantly and talk about, I made the right plays, I need to be aggressive. I thought he was so lost. I thought he was so arrogant in a lot of ways that I was almost done with
him. Yeah, he was defiant. And it's weird because we haven't had any issues with him defensively, despite him at the top or near the top in errors at shortstop in baseball this year. It's really been at the plate. He's just been inept at
that. I think his defense has gone backwards, though.
But his defense has gone backwards.
Yeah.
And so he's a young player who's having a regression defensively. And we saw this what happened with the Mets.
And the
young player, defensive regression, despite not hitting with Francisco Alvarez, send him to the minors.
And here's the biggest
problem.
That'll
never happen with Anthony Volpe. But maybe it should.
Well, the reason it's not going to happen is maybe because they love him, because Aaron Boone does defend them all the time, so maybe it's that. But it's also their options, they don't exist. Right. Oswald Peraza is worse than Anthony Volpe offensively. So I started thinking, after I went out on him yesterday, thinking, boy, I'm done with him. Is there an external option? Like, are there shortstops we're not thinking of that would become available where we would say, wow, you really can move on from Anthony Volpe? And I'm going up and down the rosters. I'm thinking about it. And I'm like, Corey Seager.
Right.
Like, they're not that good. He makes a crap ton of money. He's still a good player. It's not like he's the corpse of Corey Seager. And I'm like, there you go. That's your guy. If you're willing to absorb the contract.
Yeah, they do have Lombard in the Double A, but he's not coming up.
But you know what I would do in that regard if I brought in Seager and I'm willing to pay the money? Mm-hmm. He is my shortstop until George Lombard proves he can be my shortstop. And then I move the guy to third base.
Right.
Most shortstops when they get older, not all of them, I don't think Lindor will, but a lot of shortstops when they get older move off of the position, as we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jeter didn't do it, but A-Rod did it. Ripken eventually did it. Like, it happens.
Where did Cal go?
Third base.
Third, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know who pushed him off? You guys remember the guy who pushed him off shortstop?
No. Oh, Bordick?
No.
No. Was it Melvin Mora?
No.
Who?
It's a good guess. I think initially it was Manny Alexander.
Oh, you really? Remember that.
Can you look that up and make sure I'm right about that? I just don't want to get false. This is what I think I remember. Manny Alexander was the guy that pushed him off shortstop. Like, when he finally stopped starting at short in the midst of that streak, the guy that pushed him off the position was Manny Alexander, who eventually was traded to the New York Mets. And good, this gets me to something I really want to bring up. We're going to go real full circle.
I was actually right.
What?
Obviously, the immediate guy that played when he sat was Ryan Miner. The immediate shortstop when he moved to third base was Mike Bordick.
It wasn't Manny Alexander?
No.
You talking about when he first moved off of shortstop?
Yeah.
No, I got that one wrong. I'm going to fact check.
Good job, Sean.
I still don't actually believe him. Okay. I have to look it up out of curiosity. Whatever, maybe I made it up just to bring this up. Manny Alexander was in the trade for Bobby Bonilla.
Yeah.
We got to stop talking about Bobby Bonilla. If you tweeted out
about Bobby Bonilla,
every single human being connected to sports on social media, including Adam Schefter.
Oh, forget social media.
Well, Adam Schefter's a real person.
Mm.
I don't need to hear Adam Schefter make Bobby Bonilla jokes. It is the most overplayed, stupid joke.
Adam Schefter?
Yeah. Happy Bobby Bonilla Day for those that
He's
celebrate.
A football insider.
You should remind him of that.
He reported on the Diddy ruling today as well.
Did he really?
It's a slow time in the NFL.
Oh, man. Somebody tweet him and say, Adam, you can just be silent until football relevant news happens.
Go on vacation.
Sit a play out.
No. Well, we in baseball don't talk about that anymore.
Can you do me a favor?
Yes.
Can you get an out and pick it up for me?
What's that?
Because Sean needs to wear one.
Manny Alexander replaced him the first full-time shortstop for multiple years as Mike Bordick.
You're changing the words.
No. Right.
You're changing the words.
The guy who became the steady shortstop after Ripken moved was Mike Bordick.
Are you talking about this specific day?
The guy who pushed Ripken off initially, and it wasn't for a long period of time, was Manny Alexander. It was not Mike Bordick. Bordick did it permanently. And the fact that...
That was the way I was interpreting it.
No, but then you...
What happened with Manny Alexander? How many?
He did it for like a week, and then it got backlash.
That doesn't count?
Well, even if it doesn't count, I brought up Manny Alexander as the guy that initially moved Ripken off shortstop.
Right.
Initially. To say, you're wrong, it's Mike Bordick, and move on, is not accurate. Alexander did it for a week, so I was right.
God. A week is at 160.
I said initially moved him off of shortstop.
Who pushed him off of shortstop meant like who became their shortstop after Ripken. It was Mike Bordick.
Tommy,
you know what?
Tommy,
I trust the process. You guys vote on this.
Tommy, rule it.
Oh, it's Evan in a landslide.
Thank you.
Sean's full of crap. He's talking out of his ass now, and he's moving the goalposts.
Whoa.
Yeah, you're doing the let's all get behind the campfire, around the campfire here, and Sean will do magic tricks for 5 minutes.
Everybody knows I've paid the most debts on this show. Okay, just look at how many times I've been painted and stuff.
Right.
It has to be unanimous, and Tiki is not ruling unanimously with Tommy.
I don't agree.
Here's what I'll ask you to do, and this is for Tiki,
no
too.
For you.
I want you to go back and replay what I initially said about Manny Alexander on the radio so we all can hear what I said. And I'll judge it, too. Maybe I worded it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But my point was the guy who initially moved Ripken off of shortstop was Manny Alexander. I didn't say
how many games did he play?
It was like a week. And then it was like, I think there was
how
back.
How many games?
Three? Like five or six?
Five games.
But that's my point. Oh, I wasn't.
No.
No, you only wanted to get to that point because you wanted to bring up Bobby Bonilla.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah, that's all. That's true.
I will replay it, but let me just say what you said, I think can be interpreted this. That seems as if the Orioles turned to Cal Ripken and said, we have this kid, Manny Alexander. You have to go to third. And you're not giving him five games in a week if you're making that move.
Here's the problem. Even if I'm wrong, okay, that it came out as I'm talking about the permanent replacement, which I don't think, but let's say that is true.
Yeah.
I also think you do a disservice to the audience and to me to say you're wrong and never at least clarify you're wrong, but you're sort of right because he did it for a bunch of days. To say you're wrong, let's move on, to make me have to, and I even said it on the air, I got to fact check him because I'm pretty sure Manny did it.
Okay.
Like, you tried to move on and never even acknowledge that Alexander replaced him for 5 days.
What I said was, while Bordick wasn't the guy when he first moved, he became the first permanent shortstop.
Just find the audio and we'll determine it.
That is what Sean said.
I don't even care what Sean said. It's about what I said. Go find it and we'll take a listen. And if I'm wrong, I'll admit it. That's fine. Let's go to Rich in West Babylon. Hey, Rich.
What's up, Rich? Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you? I just wanted to touch base on this DJ LeMahieu thing. The Yankees have a propensity of running these guys that are washed up. They did it with Aaron Hicks. They did it with Josh Donaldson. They're doing it right now with DJ LeMahieu.
Right.
And they just refuse it. I don't know if it's an Aaron Boone call, which I don't think it is, but I certainly think it's a Cashman call as far as running these guys out there constantly. I was fed up with it with Aaron Hicks. I was fed up with it with Josh Donaldson. And now I'm fed up again with DJ LeMahieu.
Nah, it's fair. It's a very fair point.
But I almost kind of exonerate them with DJ because what other option do they have?
They should have traded for one during the offseason, like
100%.
That's the mistake.
That is the mistake. You should have been right.
It should have been Arenado.
They should have recognized this. Now, the reason I kind of also forgive him for that is because Oswaldo Cabrera he's a viable third baseman, right? You can play him he's a utility guy. You can play him wherever you potentially need him. And so even if you have to platoon him with whoever, DJ, or you can use him in different places.
And the other defense concerning Nolan Arenado is clearly on the decline. The idea that he was going to have a bounce back season has not been the case this season. With that said, even knowing that, I want to give you Nolan Arenado's numbers just to give you context here. He's a 250 hitter, a 700 OPS, 10 home runs, 41 RBIs, but still plays Gold Glove defense.
And by the way, that's all we're talking about
That's my point.
I mean,
even on the decline, numbers.
Right. Sean wants to include, we need another bat, because whether we want to believe this or not, statistically, the Yankees are kind of exactly the same, but record-wise, they're like 4 or 5 games from the pace they were on a year ago. It's because they lost Juan Soto.
Right.
So we want to think about the bat, but the reality is they need a defensive third baseman. And right now, they're bad at third, and they're bad at second. And they don't have to be bad at second, because Jazz Chisholm is a really good second baseman.
The only defense I'll give of Cash is, okay, so he's talking to the Cardinals about Nolan Arenado. Mm-hmm. Nolan Arenado is due an absurd amount of money.
Right.
If the Cardinals weren't willing to eat a big portion of that contract, I understand saying he'd be an upgrade over DJ. We don't want to pay the guy $20 million a year. I buy that.
Right.
So I give him.
And by the way, that probably is what happened.
If that's what happened.
Right.
And then it comes down to, well, how much money is worth paying that productive player we just mentioned?
Defensive productive player.
He's and offensively is better than what they have.
True.
So even while those offensive numbers aren't great, that's better than DJ LeMahieu. We got a Sean Cinco de Favo. Do you have the audio yet, by the way?
I do have the audio, but
we'll do it after the break.
I'm also being told there you might be wrong on another point that
that's
you
made. Totally fine. If okay. I'm wrong, I should be
held
accountable.
We're researching that point.
I have the fact check.
That's great. You want to do it when we come back? Or you want to do it right now?
I'll just tell you this right now.
Well, just play it, and right. we got to do it all together.
All right, play it, and then I'll tell you why you're wrong.
All right,
here we go.
I think I remember Manny Alexander was the guy that pushed him off shortstop. Like, when he finally stopped starting at short in the midst of that streak, the guy that pushed him off the position was Manny Alexander, who eventually was traded to the New York Mets. All right, so then what am I wrong about? He initially pushed him off shortstop, which I was right about.
When Cal Ripken's streak ended, he was already a third baseman.
Yeah, I know. So I said, in the midst of the streak, he moved him off of shortstop.
Okay. Because as
intellectually
the streak
ended, bankrupt.
Mike Bordick was their shortstop.
I mean, everything I said there was accurate.
I think we're both right is the problem.
No.
Right.
You want to be right. You want to be right. You're both right.
I don't want
to
be.
You want it to be a zero sum game.
No.
That's
you're
the problem.
You're incorrect. Disagree with you. I don't want Sean every right to bring up the Bordick stuff, which was interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't like him saying it was Bordick. You're wrong. Let's move on, and not acknowledging Alexander replaced him. Tommy knows what I'm talking
Here's
about.
Here's what I'm acknowledging. You're right. He replaced him on that initial
that
move.
You didn't say that until I had to look it up.
Bordick
or I'm doing
was
a radio
their
show.
Long-term replacement for Ripken and Short.
But
there
you
it is.
You answered a different question. You didn't answer Evan's question. You answered. You're doing your own, as usual, your own radio show over here. No, I'm not unreal. You heard what you wanted to hear. Evan said something that was factual. You said something was factual, but not...
As a non-baseball observer, and whatever year that was, 19...
Which one? My replacement or his replacement?
No, the replacement of Cal Ripken. What year did that happen?
He sat in 98. I think he was replaced... He sat in 98. His replacement at short was either 96 or 97.
All right, so whenever that happened, I wasn't a huge baseball fan at that time. So if Cal Ripken had missed 3, 4, maybe 5 games, I would have still said he's a shortstop. Now... He's permanently replaced at shortstop and never played shortstop again? That's what I remember.
What,
and I think that's what Sean was remembering.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.